Chapter 6. The first day of restoration did not want to end. If I had ever complained of lack of time before today, I regretted it now. 4 hours were spent staring at complicated diagrams of human anatomy. Thousands of foreign-sounding names for the parts of the vessel and the various rules one was expected to understand in order to mend. We learned about the most common complaints during a night service, and I was surprised to see how much time was spent going over natural maladies. Battle wounds were apparently too advanced for the week's orientation. Instead, we were to focus on the most common inflictions: jungle rot, frostbite, burns, and dehydration. Alex and I had an advantage thanks to our years in the family apothecary. Unfortunately, most of that knowledge was lost to some frazzled recess in the corners of my mind. Darren's warning from the night before kept invading my thoughts, destroying any semblance of concentration I had. The next few hours were even more disheartening. Piers had kept our regular conditioning, with its various laps and lunging and stretching between, but he had traded our staffs for heavy-weighted sacks of grain. We were instructed to carry, lift, and drag them up and down the field, repeatedly.
"Those are your patients," he barked. "Don't think you'll always be able to treat a victim in the middle of a battlefield. If there's still a fight going on, you'll need to get them to safety first. So pick up the pace, children."
By the end of the exercise, my arms were too weak to even reach up and adjust my hair. Master Cedric's exercise wasn't any better. I had thought our first week of actual casting would change things, but it didn't. At least, not in the way I had hoped. With the help of his assistants, Cedric had us divide into several small groups and take turns healing one another from the maladies we had studied earlier while the rest of the group watched. We were given 2 tasks: name the remedy, and then cast out your magic using the projection of that cure to heal your patient. If you failed, the next person in your group would start his or her own attempt. I did well enough during the first half of the lesson. Both Alex's and my background in the family apothecary helped with remedy. But when it came time to cast the cures for our patients, I was useless.
"What do you think you are doing, first year?"
I whirled around to find Master Cedric frowning. I glanced at the small hand knife in my palm. It was my turn to cast.
"She can't cast without injury, sir,"
my twin quickly said. "She's tried, but for some reason..."
"Is this true?"
Master Cedric stared hard at me. I reddened.
"Yes. Perhaps next time you will think twice before falling asleep in my class."
The master walked away without a second glance, while Alex and Ella gawked after him.
"Did he really just say that? He's not even going to try to help you."
I tossed the blade to the ground, furious. What good was my magic here if the masters refused to help me?
"Don't let him get to you, Raya,"
Alex said softly, aware of the attention Master Cedric's presence had brought to our circle. I stared at the girl across from me. Master Cedric's assistant had given her the slightest bit of frostbite. She was waiting for me to heal her. I tried to remember what Master Cedric had said at the beginning of class.
"Use all your senses, shut out everything. Focus solely on the projection in your mind. Once you have a strong hold of what you need to do, project your will onto it, and if you have done so correctly, your magic should come through."
I kept repeating the instructions over and over, willing my magic to take effect. But it never did. At one point, I caught Darren watching me from the corner of his eye. When I whirled around to catch him, he gave me a wink before casting a healing of his own.
I felt like screaming. "Maybe next time."
Alex gave my shoulder an awkward pat. The assistant returned to heal my partner, and I looked down to avoid any more sympathetic glances from the rest of our group. No one else had failed this exercise.
"I'm sure once Master Cedric sees how hard you are trying, he will change his mind," Ella offered.
Like Alex, she had no idea why my magic wasn't casting. None of her suggestions had worked either. I sighed. Judging from the mild-mannered master's response, my month of dozing off in his class was irreparable. Alex, on the other hand, did even better than expected. He grasped Master Cedric's lesson almost immediately. Even though I'd only seen him cast the most basic of spells back home, he was very apt at putting the new castings to work. When it was his turn, it took only minutes for my brother to heal his patient of sunburn. It was hard to contain my jealousy. I tried to tell myself that it was just restoration, that my castings didn't matter here. But it was hard to evade the truth. If I couldn't cast now, how would my week of combat be any different? That evening after dinner, Ella did not come with me to the field to continue our nightly conditioning. She needed to spend the extra time studying now that we had moved on from the basics. The rest of our group went with her, including Alex. When I arrived at the armory, I could see I was not alone. Granted, there were less students now that we had started the first faction's orientation, but there were still no fewer than 20 first-years drilling when I arrived. Someone had brought out a pile of staffs and blunt training swords. Glancing at the two weapons, I considered trying the blade. It would be the perfect distraction to my dismal day thus far. But without Ella for proper instruction, I knew the best thing to do would be continue working on my practiced routine with the pole instead. Whimsy, however, got the best of me. "Do you even know what you are doing?" a familiar voice jeered. I jumped and then turned to find myself face to face with Priscilla. She was watching me awkwardly clutch the sword handle, while Darren and the rest of his following stood only a couple feet away. She had picked the wrong day to bully me. "Don't you tire of playing the witch?" I shot back. One of the two husky brothers snickered, and I was almost certain I saw Darren smile. Priscilla, however, was less than amused. "Go on all you like, lowborn. It will not save you from your pathetic casting. The only good use for that sword is if it ends your own paltry existence." "Oh no," I snapped. "I think it would do wonders for your own. Besides," I added shortly, "like Sir Pierce said, it's the ones that need to learn you should be worrying about. The only thing I worry about is getting stuck in the same quarters as a common wench," she cried. "What in the name of the gods are you talking about?" Priscilla looked me up and down. "Tell me where you sneak off to every night. Explain why Sir Piers had suddenly started to take an interest in the same half-wit he was so keen on condemning a week ago. Seems to me you must have found a way to earn his praise through your skirts." All I saw was red. I felt that same rage from the night before crackling and sputtering its way to the surface. "I would never." "Then tell me where you go," she countered. Behind her, the rest of our audience had fallen silent. There was a malicious smile on her lips, and it took all my self-control to stop from lunging. "Unless you've got something to hide," she added with a smirk. I took a deep breath. "Ignore her," I commanded. I loosened my grip on the sword's hilt and cast a glance at Darren. The non-air had an amused expression on his face and did not appear the least bit interested in defending me. Apparently, he was perfectly content to let Priscilla think the worst of me, so long as it didn't sully his reputation. "We'll see about that." "You can say what you like, Priscilla," I said finally, eyes locked on Darren as I spoke. "But there are some things wealth will never afford, and before you go around soiling my good name, you might go and ask your precious prince where it is he goes each night as well." Priscilla blenched and immediately turned on Darren. "What does she mean by that?" Darren kept his face perfectly still.
"That lowborn doesn't know what she's saying, Priscilla," he said smoothly.
"Then why did she—"
"Because she has nothing better to do."
Darren glanced at me, dark eyes flashing.
"The girl is trying to upset you, and you are letting her. Honestly, Priscilla, I expect more from you."
"He's lying," I told her. Darren glared, and I ignored him. Priscilla glanced from me to Darren and back again, unsure whom to believe. The girl she hated or the boy she loved? "Well, I should tell the constable she's sneaking out."
"No!"
Both Darren and I began at the same time.
"What I mean, Priscilla, is that you shouldn't waste your time on someone as insignificant as her,"
Darren amended quickly. His eyes dared me to disagree. I reluctantly kept silent, knowing better than to say anything foolish again.
"Come, let's practice closer to the field.
Darren told the girl, gently leading Priscilla away from where I stood. As soon as his following had left, I took a deep breath. What was that about? I glanced up and saw Ella walking toward me. How much did you see? I asked her. Enough? She picked up the sword I had dropped and snatched a second for herself. It seems I'm not the only one who has a bone to pick with the prince. I was just coming down to check on you when I saw what was taking place. Sword? I shook my head at the offered hilt. I don't know how to hold it, I told her. Well, it's a good thing I've joined you, she replied easily. Are you done with the assignments already? Ella shrugged. No, but I figured you needed some cheering up. She gave me a kind smile. This week is only restoration. I'll manage. An hour later, Ella and I made our way back to the library for the last leg of our study. The prince must really dislike you, she said as we turned the steps of the corridor. He usually goes out of his way to ignore people. I laughed loudly. So what did you do? She asked, pausing to glance at me curiously. I think my very existence offends him. She cocked her head to one side. Well, you've made a nice enemy out of Priscilla. If I were you, I'd avoid the both of them. I sighed uncomfortably. What has changed? She paused, and I almost crashed into her. Ella had a strange look in her eyes. Just be careful, she said softly. When people like them notice you, that's when you should be worried. I stared at my friend, trying to understand the odd intensity to her warning. What happened when you lived at court? There was something she wasn't telling me. Why did your parents choose to leave? Ella stared at the walls behind us. Just don't trust them. She looked anywhere but my face. Don't trust them, and you can't get hurt. When Darren arrived at the library later that evening, I was waiting for him. What are you? He set down his books. I cut him off. You cannot let Priscilla say those things about me. I don't care if it gets us both expelled. If you do not defend me next time, I'll tell everyone the truth. I swear it. He didn't blink. What was I supposed to do, Raya? Defending you would have only made her hate you more. And you aren't innocent in all of this. You baited her with all those cheeky retorts and then practically insinuated you were laying with me instead. I blushed. I didn't mean for her to interpret it that way. Well, everyone that was out there with us formed the same impression, so I hope you keep in mind that you have only yourself to thank for your tarnished reputation. I'm sure they didn't. Oh, but they did, he exhaled loudly. I corrected them, but if the rumor had reached the constable or Master Barclay, you'd have the both of us tossed out of here for misconduct. I stared at the floor. I had no idea. Darren's tone fell flat. Clearly. Neither of us spoke for a minute. Then I remembered what I had been waiting to ask him. What did you mean when you told me I was training the wrong way last night? Huh? The non-heir looked at me, thrown by the abrupt change in subject. I've tried following Master Cedric's lessons, I began again. But nothing he says makes any sense, and he won't show me what I'm doing wrong. You've fallen asleep in his class. Twice. Darren's expression was unsympathetic. What did you expect? I don't know. I bit my lip. But is that really enough to condemn me? I'm trying. You more than anyone can see that. Darren did not reply. No one else can help me, I pleaded. Even my twin brother doesn't know why I can't cast normally. But you do. I know you do. It's why you told me I was training wrong.
Even if I did know, why would I help you?
Because it's the right thing to do. He snorted.
Well, good luck with that.
You can't just give someone advice and then not show them how to use it. I seethed. It's not advice if it doesn't help them. Darren balked.
Well, I certainly wouldn't give it to the girl that has tried to get me tossed out of this place not once but twice now. Oh, and let's not forget your most inglorious moment. When you tried to light me on fire?
I've made some mistakes. I met the prince's eyes defiantly.
But you have made just as many. You wouldn't have given me advice if you hadn't been feeling guilty about them in the first place.
Darren regarded me grimly. In that moment, I was aware of how near we were standing. This close, I could smell some sort of wooded musk emitting from his clothes. A mixture of pine and cloves that reminded me of home. Hair had fallen across his forehead and into his eyes, but instead of being distracting, it highlighted the dark garnet brown of his irises, which oddly didn't seem quite as opaque as I'd initially assumed, and closed in those dark, dark lashes. They seemed much less hostile this close, more like liquid shadows playing across flame than embittered stone. And right now, those shadows were doing strange, flippy things to my insides. I felt as if someone had wrenched the ground right out from under me. I was uncomfortably conscious of how much I was staring, yet I could do nothing to pull away.
Are you done berating me?
The trance was broken, and I stepped back quickly, flushing. His sudden presence had caught me off guard, and I hoped he hadn't noticed. I faltered. Darren was looking at me as though I was mad.
See here, I began again, flustered at my inability to speak.
You want my help?
He prompted. I reddened. Yes. It seemed one-syllable sentences were all I was capable of. I'd had no trouble scolding the prince moments before, but apparently I was no better than a fumbling oaf when he stood close. For the love of the gods, he isn't even that good-looking.
Okay, maybe a little, I conceded.
But certainly not enough to make you an inept convent girl. Pull yourself together. I straightened and regarded Darren coolly.
I know you have no reason to, I conceded. But if you were to show me how to call on my magic, I swear I would never bother you again.
He raised one brow.
Well, as tempting as your offer is, I do not have time to help every girl that bats her eyes at me.
I was not!
My speech impairment was gone as fast as it had come. And if you spent a little less time disparaging me every time we crossed paths, you'd realize how abundant your precious time actually was. If you were really so secure in your own standing here, you wouldn't think twice about helping someone you believed might constitute a threat.
You really think the way to charm me into helping you is by insult?
Darren was no longer frowning, and I had the distinct impression he was enjoying the debate. I glared.
Would you prefer me to lie like every one of your blindsided subjects?
He didn't bother to hide his grin.
It would be a nice change.
Fine.
I put my hands on my hips and said in my most sickly sweet impression of Priscilla,
Oh, valiant Darren, brave ruler among men, please help this humble first year learn.
Darren raised a brow when I had finished.
I was wrong. Humility does not suit you.
I glowered.
Does this mean you'll help?
I will, if only so I can start realizing the abundance of my precious time.
A couple of minutes later, we had cleared a space in the center of the study, and Darren was facing me, a skeptical expression on his face.
Do you know how to light a fire without magic?
Of course.
Have you ever done it with flint?
I raised a brow. Who hadn't?
Well, we are going to use it as a metaphor for how to cast. Master Cedric has been saying the same sort of thing for weeks, but evidently your naps were more important.
I cringed.
When you cast your magic out, you need to be picturing what you want to create in your mind. The stronger the idea, the better your casting will be. All the lessons we've been learning should have shown you how important the senses are. When you cast, you need to be using those to build the projection. You can't expect to use your magic to create something real if you don't even understand what that thing you are trying to cast is. What is something you can describe well?
Fire. I felt like a fool for not coming up with anything else. But I couldn't help it. Fire was the one thing I'd been able to successfully conjure repeatedly. At least now I could see what would happen if I tried without self-mutilation. It would be a nice change.
How inspired. Now describe it to me.
Well, it's hot. It doesn't really have a taste. When things get burned, there's a charred flavor. It's chalky and bitter.
It's soft like a moth's wings, but scalding at the same time. It looks like...
I froze as a thought crossed my mind. Like your eyes.
I looked away from Darren. It looks like the fragmented tips of a red and yellow kite billowing in the wind.
You are missing two senses,
Darren said, unperturbed by my haphazard ramblings.
What does it sound like? What do you smell?
It sounds like low clapping. It smells repugnant. Sickly sweet like spun sugar but tinged with smoke.
Now, what do you want to do with the fire?
He asked.
What type of casting do you want to perform? Keep in mind it should be simple.
What about holding it in my hand? I've seen people...
Do you want to burn yourself?
I shook my head.
Then don't try to do what you've seen others do. Their castings are more complicated than they appear. Try lighting a candle instead.
Do I actually need a candle?
You are a beginner, so yes.
He tossed me a taper. How? I paused, fully aware that there had been no candle in his hand a second ago.
Yes, well, I am not a beginner,
Darren exhaled.
Nothing back to how you would light a fire naturally. This image you are describing is the flint. You need to focus on its details in your mind. Block out everything except the image you want to cast out. The steel that you strike this flint with is your will. That's the easy part because it is rare for someone to cast something they do not want. If you have desire, you have will. It all comes down to those two things, steel and flint. The resulting spark is the physical manifestation of your magic. If you have potential, it should be effortless. If you are struggling, it's a safe bet you are wasting your time trying to practice magic in the first place.
I glare at him. Maybe I struggle because I didn't have a lifetime of mage tutors like you. Darren stared at me.
I never even considered becoming a mage until 4 years ago. I hardly consider that a lifetime of training. The only reason my father relented was because the palace mages insisted he would be a fool to overlook my powers. It wasn't privilege that got me the training. It was my potential.
Darren narrowed his eyes at me.
You can't tell me your family wouldn't have tried harder to get you a tutor if you'd shown a great aptitude for magic.
I took a deep breath and told myself what Darren had to teach me was more important than mauling the non-heir to death. Darren was watching me closely and seemed to recognize that I was not going to respond.
Well, it appears you have self-control after all.
I stayed silent. The non-heir gestured to the candle.
Now, light the taper.
This was it. I rolled the candle in my palm, letting its smooth, waxy surface calm my racing nerves. I felt self-conscious with Darren watching me, but I hastily blocked out those thoughts, letting them trickle away until all that remained was a vision of fire. I felt its searing heat in my mind. I saw the sputtering flames. It smelled adversely sweet, and my tongue recoiled at the taste of scalded flesh. I reached further into my mind and heard the sharp sound of crackling flames against wood. I stared at the candle's wick with the image of fire concrete in my mind. I imagined the cotton string being embraced by its flames, all of the senses engulfing the candle's end. A tiny flame sputtering that would carry all of my fire's features. Please! The sting of scalding wax hit me all at once, and I shrieked excitedly. The candle in my hand had a flame protruding from its tip. Wax was spilling over onto my palm, but I couldn't care less. I did it! I looked to Darren, eyes alight with exhilaration.
Yes,
he agreed, stepping forward to close the distance between us. My breath caught. The prince leaned closer, and I froze, heart beating wildly in my chest. And then Darren blew out the flame and took a step back.
Now, do it again.
What did you do that for? I sputtered.
That was too easy. I want to see you do it under duress. It's much harder to concentrate when you have distractions.
Like what? I was instantly suspicious. A slow smile spread across his face.
How about I repay your favor from last night?
What favor? Darren snapped his finger. I glanced around frantically, but did not see any changes to the room. What did you...
The words caught in my throat as I noticed a long shadow quickly making its way across the dark marble floor. As it trailed closer, I cried out involuntarily. The shadow was a herd of very large, very hairy brown spiders that were very quickly coming toward me. How did he know? My legs went numb with fear.
I'll stop them the moment you light that candle,
Darren said, eyes dancing wickedly. I swallowed as I looked to the incoming mob.
Can't you try something else?
Stop making excuses, was his only reply.
My eye shot to the extinguished candle in my hand. The tip was tinged with black from the previous flame, and I willed it to light once again.
Please?
I tried to visualize a fire using my senses, but it was much harder to actualize with the loud pounding in my ears and the fear of spiders just inches away.
Why did he have to choose them?
The anxiety had my blood racing, and I kept losing focus to peek down at the ground.
Ignore the spiders, Raya.
I bit my lip, and inadvertently my gaze slid down to the insects again. They had just reached my boots and were beginning to climb. My insides froze.
Raya!
I shut my eyes and tried to picture a fire. The image came swimming back. I took a deep breath and tried to drown out the desire to run screaming and shaking the creatures off my legs. I recalled the taper and opened my eyes, practically throwing my impression at it. Instantly, the candle's wick caught fire, but it was fast diminished as a mountain of wax spilled out over my hands. There was nothing left of the candle. I glanced down at my tunic and saw the spiders were gone. Thank the gods. I glared at the prince, hands on my hips.
You didn't have to use spiders.
How will you get better?
The prince countered.
If you are not willing to face your fears, I did you a favor. Maybe now you'll stop napping during Cedric's lessons.
I peeled the wax off my hands, wincing at the swollen flesh beneath.
I haven't done that in weeks,
I told the non-air.
Well, I have done my part.
Darren waved a dismissing hand and sat down in his chaise with a wry smile.
So, where is that promised solitude?
Can you just answer one more thing?
Darren groaned.
What is it now?
How did you know I was training wrong? I bit my lip. You seemed to know something was wrong before you'd even seen me cast. Darren gave me a tired look.
I didn't. Not really. But when you attacked me with that fire, it was pretty obvious you didn't know what you were doing. Since I had never seen you practice your casting, there was no way you could have depleted your stamina.
Darren coughed.
I had. Otherwise, I would have been able to put out the flames myself. It wasn't hard to figure out the rest.
How come no one knew how to help me?
Darren narrowed his eyes.
You really know nothing about magic, do you?
He didn't wait for a response.
The fact that you can cast using pain is unusual. Most people can't, which means that your magic operates at a different level. You can't expect the same rules to apply to us.
Us?
My voice squeaked. Darren studied his fingers.
For the weak, castings come easily. But people like you and I have to work harder to project them. Our magic requires better focus because it is more. You will always have to work harder to cast, but when you do, it will be better, stronger too.
He laughed coldly.
Powerful magic requires those concentrated projections Master Cedric was alluding to, not acts of whimsy.
I frowned. But then why is it so easy with pain? I don't have to build up a projection at all.
Spilling blood is the exception, not the rule.
He gave me a hard look.
It's not a reliable form of casting. The powers you exert will be unpredictable and much harder to control. Your flames didn't stop last night, did they?
I sighed.
No.
Exactly. The masters here don't even teach that method to first years. It's dangerous, and you should be grateful you haven't lost a limb trying it.
I winced. Darren's eyes danced.
Of course, if that's your intention, it would be very amusing to watch.
I threw my quill at his head, and he caught it with a grin. He has a nice smile. I quickly averted my gaze. That was the last thing I needed. The next 2 weeks of restoration and alchemy's orientation were spent trying to learn as much as I could about casting. Thanks to the reluctant help of the school's resident non-heir, I finally understood what Master Cedric had been saying. I was also painfully aware of the warning we'd received on that second day of training, that the skill would not be something I could master in a day, or even years. It was a very ominous thought, and it plagued my every waking moment. I became consumed with practicing the meditation exercises whenever I could. It didn't matter what time of day or where I was. I channeled visualization during walks to the armory, meals, and even once or twice during lessons when I had deemed the material irrelevant. Unfortunately, though, as I had learned from my time thus far, every choice had a consequence. And it was clear as night and day that my newfound hobby had put an unavoidable cramp in the rest of my routine. I no longer participated in any of the lectures, and I had started to copy Ella's answers to most of the math. It wasn't ideal, but it was either that or muck out the stables each night.
"Whatever it is you think you are doing,"
Master Isaac had said to me when I handed him the latest assignment,
"I'd rethink the decision carefully. Ignorance will not save you at the end of your trials."
My response had been a blank stare of innocence. The master's crinkled frown did little to assuage my guilt. I was not fooling anyone. It was even worse with Master Cedric, who had yet to see me succeed in a single one of his sessions. I fumbled through the 2 weeks of restoration and alchemy with the grace of a stupefied pigeon. It was true that I could finally cast, but since I had not devoted any time to the study of human malady and combustive potion making, I had no way of casting a successful projection to invoke my magic in the first place. You had to know what it was you wanted to cast, and I hadn't the slightest idea. I wanted desperately to show my masters I was trying, just not in those first two factions. Fortunately, there was one individual I did not have to worry about disappointing. Since anything Sir Pierce taught was applicable to combat, I had made it a point to keep up my devotion to his lessons, and I used them as the training ground for the visualization techniques I had been learning thus far. I began to notice every little detail during our drills, whether we were heaving large sacks of grain or hurling heavy jugs filled with sand at targets impossibly far off.
"For those pesky inferno flasks you alchemy mages are so fond of,"
Pierce had noted. I made it a point to study the way the actions affected my senses. I scrutinized what others were doing that made them throw further, pull faster. As soon as I had formed a good impression in my mind, I began to cast out my magic and use it to magnify my own attempts. Often, I was too exhausted in the midst of performing to actually utilize my powers. But there was once or twice when I was tossing a flask, and it worked, making my vial land farther than my throw alone. The best practice, of course, was my self-imposed training after the evening meal. Alex stayed behind with the study group, but Ella had made a habit of joining me since she too had little need to take in all the useless material of the other factions. Granted, it wasn't useless, but it certainly seemed to us given the time we had available. During those practices, I told her about Darren and how I had finally learned to cast. Ella couldn't believe the non-heir had helped me. And to be honest, neither could I. I rationalized that it must have been a stroke of madness or extreme confidence that I was too weak to constitute a threat. Though she tried as any friend might, Ella couldn't argue with the latter. We both knew the two of us were leagues behind Darren in terms of magic. In any case, it was in no small part due to Ella that I picked up the basics of fencing a lot faster than the staff. By the end of our second week's orientation, I was confident enough to try my hand at casting with the sword during our evening practice. The first time I was in the midst of holding guard when I missed an obvious indicator for Ella's next swing. My shoulder should have been red and smarting all evening. But as I realized my mistake, I cast out a projection for the correct defense. Her blade hit a second sword hovering just above my arm, the familiar zing of metal on metal ringing in both our ears. After that, I used the move every chance I got. It was as if I had a blade in both hands, and while I was not savvy by any means, I was certainly gaining momentum. Ella had even started using her own magic. figuring if I was brazen enough to cast and parry without a true grasp of swordplay, I deserved any injuries I got. My magic didn't always work, especially if I were exhausted or had to cast out too much in one day. Still, it was a clear improvement. I just hoped it would continue to grow. It was one thing to have magic, but it was another to have so little to start. I was no longer at the very bottom of our class in terms of casting, but I was also nowhere near the top, or even the middle. Though I had only completed orientation for restoration and alchemy, I had seen enough successful castings in the past 2 weeks to make me worried. Tomorrow, we'd be beginning combat, and given that it was the most popular faction, I had no doubt there would be even more competition to contend with. Thinking back to that first day with Piers and Cedric, I saw the magical spectrum I'd be chasing for the next 8 months. At one end, whimpering Ralph clutching a twig that struggled to burn. At the other, Darren and the two imploding trees far out in the distance. It was bound to be a very long trek.